This is a Triple M Footy podcast with all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy. It's Tom Brown's news.
Been a massive week of footy news with late night press conferences, a mid-season draft, and so many tribunal appeals that had to be split over two nights. Naturally, there's no one better to get us across it all than Tom Brown, and I've got him here in the studio. Tommy, let's start today with Hawthorn.
Thanks, Rudy. Real David Zeta areas, those tribunal hearings. Let's start with Hawthorn today, Rudy. It's my understanding this afternoon that the complainant's lawyer, top legal eagle Leon Zwire, who's one of the best dispute resolution lawyers in Australia, his nickname, Rudy, is Mr. Fix-It. He gets solutions, Leon. My understanding is that Leon and his firm, Arnold Block and Liebler, ABL, could lodge the human rights claim in regards to all this as soon as this week. It's Mabo Day on Saturday, Rudy, and I think even befitting of that, they would like to lodge this claim even before then, just to coincide with that. So they're working on that as we speak, Rudy, in terms of lodging that human rights claim. That could take some time. You can do that anonymously to begin with. There's a mediation process to begin with. And I think that's what a lot of the parties would like now, is to come face-to-face and try and work this out. And presumably that commission and that hearing would have better evidentiary powers than the AFL independent panel, Rudy, which in the end was wound up on Tuesday night.
So what happened with the AFL? How did they wind this up?
Well, in the end, Rudy, the AFL found and the complainants agreed that there was insufficient evidence before that panel. But as we know, there's the additional complainants that weren't subject to the investigation, which is the pseudonyms Zach and his partner. And there's obviously the Amy one as well. So there's two other potential complainants that weren't subject to that independent panel. Look, it is a bit of a mystery. There's no independent report from that panel. There's no public findings from that panel. We still don't essentially know what happened or what allegedly happened or what didn't happen in regards to the coaches. But yesterday, Rudy, I spoke to Phil Egan, who was the author of Hawthorn's report, a somewhat controversial report because the AFL is not happy with Hawthorn over the way that report was prepared and the way that report was presented. But I do get on well with Phil Egan, and he spoke to me yesterday explaining that he didn't leak the matter when it came out last September.
I just, can categorically deny that Bin Mata has been involved in Interleak. I've upheld our non-disclosure professionally. Been in this business for 30 years, and to protect that integrity is very, very important for my company. And what's more is that, as I understand, that and what's probably been lost a little bit, Tom, is that the first disclosure, what was aired publicly, was done ethically and professionally by the ABC, where they spoke directly and interviewed directly the alleged the families or the participants, if you like, and they gave their story to him willingly.
That was Phil Egan when I spoke to him yesterday, Rudy. I also asked him what his opinion was, his initial opinion was, of the AFL's position and findings on Tuesday night.
Look, it defies logic a little bit where what's been reported, and as I understand it, that none of the complainants or defendants made were interviewed or made any input into the investigation or the independent panel whatsoever. So it sort of defies logic a bit how they can come to no adverse finding or no findings at all. So it sort of asks a question, what did they do for the 8 months? What happened? And how they come to these findings?
Egan also told me, Rudy, that he hopes that the complainants might be able to come forward publicly and identify themselves, and that might be the next step as part of all this. Obviously, that's up to the complainants, but Phil thinks there could be some momentum towards that happening. Separately, Rudy, Jason Burt, who's one of the co-accused, together with Alastair Clarkson and Chris Fagan, Rudy, issued a statement in regards to the AFL's findings on LinkedIn overnight. I want to stress before I read out a section of what he said that I'm not passing judgment in regards to this. My personal view is that it's probably irrelevant to the issue, and I don't know why Burt said this, but I'll just quote what he said. I also think it's important, this is Burt's words, to clarify that Zach and Amy, that's the pseudonyms, who continue to make allegations to the media, are not Indigenous Australians. He's going close there to identify who that person is. I don't know why he said that. But there is a discussion that you might see publicly today in regards to whether that's relevant or not. I'm just quoting Burt in that regard. In terms of the age-old question, which a lot of our listeners might have as to whether or why in particular the AFL is angry at Hawthorn over all this, and you might have heard Gil McLachlan point out on Tuesday night that they could face bringing the game into disrepute and a substantial fine or even the loss of draft picks, I think the discussion's more around a substantial fine. Hawthorn could fight that if indeed that happens. That's up to the commission. But essentially, the AFL's angry at Hawthorn, Rudy, because of the way the report was commissioned, the terms of reference of the report, the fact that the report didn't get input from Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan before it was handballed to the AFL, the way it was handballed to the AFL. I mean, you know, Hawthorn say they had to under the rules. Collingwood didn't necessarily furnish the whole Do Better report before it was completed or in a substantive firm to the AFL. They worked on it themselves to begin with. So the AFL is disappointed with a lot of aspects of the way the report was prepared. The report didn't have a specific section, for example, from some prominent players who supported Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan. So there's a lot of criticism of the way the report was prepared. The AFL thinks that might have brought the game into disrepute. Whether that's an ambit claim or not on the part of the AFL, i.e. whether they'll actually fine Hawthorn, I guess we'll find out in due course. But just to cap off, the main part of my story in regards to this situation today is that the complainants, who I think could join, Rudy, you might see the Amy complainant, the Zach complainant, and the four that were part of the AFL's independent investigation, they could all join now and lodge this Human Rights Commission documentation as soon as tomorrow by close of business.
Every Triple M Footy podcast is in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app now.
There's some intrigue at the AFL with a few moving roles. What's the latest on Brendan Gale's link to the vacant head of footy job?
I still think Andrew Dillon's big preference would be to have Gale in, Brendan Gale, the CEO of Richmond, in a second in charge, all-encompassing type role, a powerful role that's beyond just the football role. I think there's strong club support, Rudy, for that to happen. And I think that even the commission chairman has come around to the view that there's strong support for that to happen. It hasn't got a lot of momentum yet, but I think it will take some time. He's got to reshape the executive, reshape the responsibilities, keeping in mind, of course, that Gill's still essentially in the job. In fact, he's speaking at a Norm Smith oration, Gill, at the MCC tonight before having a couple of breaks overseas during June. He's going to France, then he's going to Israel. Sam McClure has reported that this morning. But just to summarise my story, I think there's strong momentum internally at the AFL and support for Brendan Gale to get that second-in-charge role, which would be an all-encompassing second-in-charge type role. There's certainly club support for that to happen, and I think that'll sort of pick up some steam over the next few months, Rudy.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Everyone in footy is bulking up for winter.
Starting to flex the muscles.
Including Triple M's Friday Huddle.
I started at 73.5. Chief, I've spent 2 months including every bit of food I could eat in.
Protein powders.
Everything. Extra food, I'm at 77 kilos.
A career high.
If you're a kilo over 62, I'll go there.
Join the Temper Mattress Call Team tomorrow night for Melbourne and Carlton. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
We had the mid-season draft last night. Tommy, a few interesting selections there. A couple of ex-AFL players back on lists, but the number one pick was a big West Coast man.
The mid-season draft, Rudy, I think was a fairly big fizzer, but it's obviously great for these players involved. Ryan Marrick's gone to West Coast with their pick one. He's a third tall 40, dropped 20 kilos to obviously become a bit quicker and a bit more agile. West Coast obviously excited regards to that. A great story, Quinton Narkle, your previous man, Rudy, down at the Cattery. He's been training and playing for Essendon's VFL side. Adrian Dodoro, the Bombers list manager, came up to Quinton last night and said, you're in. But he ended up going to Port Adelaide, which is just great for Quinton. It's been written up this morning on the AFL website that Quinton had a meeting with Port Adelaide on Saturday. Powell Pepper gave that his stamp of approval, along with Ken Hinckley and Chris Davies. They all had a meeting in East Melbourne before their game on Saturday. I think Narkle goes back to... Is he a wit?
Yeah, he's West Australian.
He's West Australian. Wesley, yeah. There's a Wesley link there in terms of his school. Back to some other players. Caleb Poulter has got a second chance at the Bulldogs. He's been playing VFL there, the former Pie, who has that sort of longish, wavy, flowing hair. He's a good man, Caleb Poulter. I've run into him a few times.
He'll be eye-catching out there.
Certainly will. And Essendon picked up Jaden Hunter, who was a 21-year-old Perth tall forward, to cover, obviously, the absence of Harry Jones. So great for those players involved, Rudy, but obviously the discussion today, whether we should spice up the mid-season draft by having players from where you can pick up players that are unwanted from other clubs or listed at other clubs and contracted, but by consent might want to move. So that would spice up some seasons. If you had a tall forward requirement or you had a ruck requirement, you could draft accordingly. And I think Andrew Dillon might be more amenable to a form of that, and there'll be some discussion about that over the next 12 months.
Certainly feels like something that will happen eventually, right?
I think so. If it's by consent, I don't see the downside.
Yeah, winners everywhere.
Correct.
bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
Let's run through some news, Tommy, just some brief stuff. Selection injuries, plenty about. What's happening at Collingwood?
Start with Collingwood. Obviously, Sidebottom's out for 6 to 8 weeks with the MCL injury. Collingwood will know more about that when it settles down in a couple of weeks. Jamie Elliott has had his shoulder strapped in recent weeks and won't take on the Eagles, won't make the flight tomorrow over to Perth. In terms of Melbourne, Clayton Oliver won't come back this week from that hamstring injury. But Lockie Hunter will. So that's a boost for Melbourne, who obviously need to win just to, I guess, get their top four credentials or top six credentials back on track. They're having a bit of a sort of a strange season, Melbourne, Rudy.
Yeah, they've not looked like the cut and dry premiership contender that you assumed they'd be.
Peter Wright will be available Sunday if he gets through training okay for the Bombers. Port skipper Tom Jonas wasn't selected, will play Sandful in terms of his comeback. And Taron Thomas, trained well this morning for North Melbourne, is close to senior selection. So that's significant for the Kangaroos, Rudy.
Let's finish with some off-field stuff in brief. Tommy, what's the latest with Luke Sayers?
You might have seen Luke Sayers' name mentioned in some articles surrounding PricewaterhouseCoopers, which is PwC, Rudy. The obvious question, does that impact his Carlton presidency? The answer, in short, at the moment is no. It's my information, and Luke can't comment on this because I think when he left PwC, he can't do interviews. But basically, my information is he certainly wasn't aware of these confidentiality breaches, wasn't specifically in charge of that department. And in fact, had left PwC around March 2020 before even, I think, the tax board was aware of these issues. So I'm not saying that it won't crop up in the future, but for the moment it doesn't, importantly, impact his presidency at Carlton. Rudy, is my information.
And what's the latest with Andrew Dillon?
Andrew Dillon is just getting around now, the CEO-elect, and meeting all the clubs. I know he's up in Sydney today, and he's been catching up with a number of the club presidents, just canvassing their views, and just getting around sort of... canvassing opinions, catching up with clubs, and I guess getting a bit of an impression, Rudy, on what his key agenda items will be when he jumps in the hot seat. As I mentioned, Gill's going away during June a couple of times, so Dills' responsibilities will ramp up now, and he's just getting around seeing all the club presidents canvassing all their views, Rudy.
Just a bit of a temperature check. I like it.
Correct. Thanks. Is that what you call it?
Well, that's like what he's doing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Just gauging the mood in the room.
Indeed.
Like your phrase, temperature check.
Temperature check. That's cheers. Right. Thanks so much for coming in today, Tommy. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Thanks, mate.
That was Tom Brown's News. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more. And subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener to get all our podcasts throughout the season. Barine Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.